September 2023, you posted a very sad note about your miscarriage.
I was experiencing a double miscarriage, a quadruple miscarriage. Almost everything that I was working on, from spiritually to physically, I lost them. I thought that I would die.
Gasha was supposed to be the Daphne of the industry.
That's something that I fought personally, because I saw that people wanted to use it to mislead the entire industry. People tried to like pitch us against each other. Everyone who walked up to me said the opposite. She walked up to me. She knows what she told me.
What's your relationship with Daphne like? What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about you?
Most people don't like me. All through my career, I've not really been in people's faces like that. I've just like been mostly releasing music underground. I've not really granted many interviews. I've selected my collabos where I've been very picky about almost everything. So most people like don't really get the chance to interact with me personally.
What do you think our industry needs right now?
It would take a lot of therapy, a lot of on teaching what has been taught.
It's 10 years of Gasha talking to your 20-year-old self. If you were to start over again, what would you do differently?
If I had to speak to my younger self, I would help more people. Blessings are what happens when you help people.
What's up, my friend? Welcome to this episode of DRB. Before we jump straight into today's episode, I'd love to specially invite you to take 10 seconds and join our 21,000 plus smart friends on emails. I've been sending out emails for the last couple of years, and most of my friends will always write back and say these are like the favorite things that they look forward to on the internet every month. And so once you join our 21,000 plus smart friends using the link in the description below, we're going to send you out a mind-blowing email once every month for free. And you're going to get an email every time that an amazing episode like this goes live. So if you're joining us for the very first time or you're new to everything that we do, I'd love to say special welcome. Don't forget to hit the follow button wherever you listen to your podcast. And please check out the links in the description for very helpful resources.
We're creating a space where people can openly share themselves and can also be themselves. And that's the reason why one of the questions we always open by that we start by asking the guests is, how are you feeling about yourself in this current phase of your life? And I know that you're answering this when it's 10 years of Gasha. So how does Gasha feel about herself in this current phase of her life?
I feel kind of smug. To be very honest, like, I'm an accomplished young lady, and you know, every day God just confirms and reaffirms to me that I'm on the right path and I went about it the right way. That's what's most important for me. And I'm really proud of myself. I'm proud of what I've stood through. I'm proud of what I've persisted through, what I've fought through, what, you know, things I didn't allow to crush my spirit. I didn't allow myself to pick up some bitterness and all that. I'm proud of all of that. Yeah, and that person who has conquered themselves on the level on which I have consciously conquered mine is ready to go anywhere they want to be. And it's not really about competition. It's just they are the shit, you know?
Yeah. I was talking about the last time when I said to you, I said, a lot of people will listen to you or just seeing your personality from afar will think that you are the kind of hardcore person. You know, it's kind of tough people. But when I look through you, I feel like this. Yeah, I think you are, because it takes a level of toughness to succeed in the industry and to succeed at what you do, because you need to have a blend of both. But when I look at you as well, I feel like underneath there is a very soft side to you that once, this is how I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Once we break through the tough side, there's a very vulnerable and soft side on the other edge that becomes very, very, I don't want to say weak, but very vulnerable with the people that you choose to be vulnerable with. So how would you describe your personality to those who are probably, what do you think your personality is?
You know, my personality, I'm a firstborn. You know, I'm the firstborn of 7 kids. I'm the first grandchild on my paternal side. You know what I'm saying? So I am very tough and I'm very protective as a person. And like, if you successfully get across that line, you know, if you successfully make it through that wall, you know what I'm saying? Like, because it's a two-way thing. If you succeed and I let you, like, you meet someone who would hardly stop at anything to be there for you. Yes, because that's how I am. I'm called to be like that. I have so many younger sisters and brothers in my family. We don't say cousin, all those things, nephew. We don't use those things. Mm-hmm. We just say brother, sister, mommy, daddy, period. It ends there. So I'm used to having, I'm used to being responsible for a lot of people at the same time. So it makes you every single thing and emotion and, you know, quirk that you have is like 10 times emphasized, because you need way more love, way more stamina, way more discipline, way more firmness, and way like a lot more of everything else, you know. Yeah, so sometimes individuals cannot really take my energy, because I've practiced who I am. My energy comes everything comes like times, because it's not just like a normal energy you meet.
You were telling me about your family. What was it like growing up for you?
So much fun. It's an experience that I really hope other kids can, you know, have even just a bit of, just a little. Because I grew up in a believing family. I grew up in a very supportive family. The love, like I was saying earlier, the love is on 100%. Like, I hear things happening in other families, I'm like, oh my God, this is a movie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we're on a whole other level of, you know, of understanding of God, of understanding of ourselves, and we enjoy what is called family love so fully, and we still do. So it's very, my family is my backbone, literally, on every level, financial, that I've gotten my highest financial assistance from my family. Everything highest is not them, as a matter of fact. Yeah, so it was a privilege growing up with my family.
Earlier on in your career, you moved to the US where you studied, and then from there, you kind of, where was the point when you developed a love for music, and what was the point where you decided, where you went, now I want to start doing music full time?
Yes, that was when I went to Yaoundé. I tried to travel to the States, and I tried to get my father's rich friends to help. And it was working, and then everyone found out that I was going to major in music, arts, like I seen them. And the energy just dwindled one way, you know what I'm saying? And I was in Yaoundé. I had some change on me. I was supposed to use that money to follow up to do more of my papers and all those things. I had that change on me. I was just like, why am I really fooling myself? Why? Some years from now, I'll be regretting. I'll be bitter. I'll be killing myself. I know it, like, it's not even that I'm excited or whatever. I had to break through shyness. I had to break through so many things. I uploaded some really good songs and was even approached by some English blogs, labels and stuff. And my immediate reaction was to delete them fast from SoundCloud. And like, you know what I'm saying? I panicked. I was just like, down. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for the world. So, I mean, I had to work through so much to actually accept my calling. It's not like I woke up and, oh my God, yeah, my job is, I'm going to be a star. Yes, I'm going to be on this. Nah, it was not that journey at all. It was literally it's like they tell you that, hi, you need to, you could be an astronaut, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer. And then someone tells you, but you know what? I think you should just sell yams. You should sell yams. That's what you should do. And then it's like, oh my God, but you don't understand the nobility in selling yams. And you have to find the journey to understand what the true nobility in selling yams by the road, what the spiritual position it gives you, the physical and everything. Why are you the one? Because you know who you're talking to. You're not just guessing up and down. You ask God for your purpose. So you have to actually, like, I had to go through that journey to understanding why. Mm-hmm. When I was starting my career, I wanted to do like what Sia is doing right now. Like, I wanted to have a mask. like those were the kind of things I had in my head, like I'll be covered or no one will know that this is that I'm this is me, you know, and then I'll be eccentric like that and I'll just be really, you know, just cool like that. And it was more in that direction. And but the arts was already in me. I am art, like I'm just art. As an actor, as a singer, as a dancer, as a creator, just in every single thing creative and artistic, that's who I am. So it was very easy. It was easy. And to some stubbornness, I was just like, I'm like, let me just stay here. I know that I'm going to look like the stupidest, dumbest, most careless, most insensitive, most ungrateful piece of rat, but I will stay here. I will just quit because I was really in UB law school year two. I was really going to year three. I was just like, nah, I will stay here. Imagine I quitting. I was just finish year three now. You know, all those feelings. Yeah. Everybody was mad now. Nah, master, come on. But that was the time. It was not another time. And I was like, you know what? I know myself. I love school. I know the kind of school I love. I will study music. I will study all of these things I want to do, like on every level that I need to know them on. But this is what I need to be doing with my life right now. I need to start figuring out. I know it's not going to be easy, but I need to start sometime. I was never know where to go at first. I just trying to talk to people here and there. Most people didn't really get my genre or even my vibe. I used to dress weird. People used to find me weird, literally. I was that guy when I was walking by the road. People would just look at me weird, even before I started singing. Yes, it was just me. So I was always kind of a misfit. So it was a journey. It was quite a journey. So deciding that this is how I'm going to make my family proud. This is how I'm going to give back to society. This is how, you know, I'm going to make my money. It was a real journey to deciding. And let me tell you something, that journey starts every day, because at some point, at every point, you just want to stop. You just want to quit, and you have to reaffirm your calling, and you have to reaffirm you know, your purpose, and you have to realize that you've not even started realizing that purpose yet, so you cannot quit. So it's like, you know, it's like something that's reoccurring. It happens all the time, and that's the thing. But about the States, like when I was living for the States, honestly, I was happy. You know, sometimes bad feelings inspire good things, and bad things inspire good things.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So I had been put in a position after the messy split with my people, the people I was working with, my label. I don't want to get into that. It had been really messy, and it was crazy how the masses so easily just went with some crazy
social media narrative
that were out there, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, oh my goodness gracious, like how do you even start telling your story? These people will not even believe you. Do anything you start to say now, they just be like, oh my gosh, she wants attention, oh, you know, she wants sympathy, all those things. And I don't like to be pitied and all of that. I make my point and I move. I don't really care to be pitied. You can empathize with me, that's human, but I don't really care for pity. So
do you ever regret the move where you forgo the US for Cameroon?
I used to, when I came out from the US, right, for 3 years after, for 3 years I was in Cameroon, after I came out, I was 2017, 2018, 2019, for those 3 years, I was just looking at this place, I was like, who sent me? I was like, who really sent me? Like, now, if not be bad luck, so now, who sent me? Who tell me, say, I feel, who said be Jesus Christ? Who sent me? But why did ever really feel, say, I was bad? So those are the questions I was asking myself. I was just like, before people wanted to laugh at me, I was like, guys, you guys do not fucking regret. Like, people were close to me, like, girl, this is really what you came and gave your life. Look at this people talk to you. Look at this people treat you. Look at how they treat your releases. Look at their values. Look at their priorities. They don't have money for people like you. They don't have time people like you. Look at who they're endorsing. And it was just like, man, what the hell? And every time you do some really awesome work from your heart and you expect that the energy will connect, like you will just connect, you know what I'm saying? And you realize that people are intentionally resisting that school of thought, that those ideas and all of that for the I would say flimsiest reasons. Besides ignorance, yeah. What is your excuse? So it was like that for some time, and I really regretted. But at the end of the day, I asked myself some really terrible questions. I was like, God, I don't understand why you make me a Cameroonian. I don't understand. You're supposed to love me. Why? I don't fit in. That you can't think that they make people them for. I don't see all kind of people, white boy them, Asian them, Arab them, do crazy shit for their skin because they don't really feel, they don't really feel accepted. They don't feel like they belong for a place where they be born to be for the, you know. So I was like, what was this? I asked that question. I prayed about it. I asked questions. I mean, I spoke to people who are deemed like, I thought were intelligent enough. I spoke to them. I was like, nah, what was this? Like, because to be realistic, it looks like it's impossible to break this barrier. Like, I can hope and pray that one day people's minds mature and evolve to the level where they at least give themselves a chance to see, check out other options. I just realized that, Masa, you are here for a reason. Your mother is Cameroonian. Your father is Cameroonian. That's the king, that's the queen. Their parents are royalty before them. Their ancestors before they're all royalty. It's your calling. It's your Bantu. It's beautiful. Don't let the minds, the current brainwashing of people make you, you know, forget or hate or feel bad for your country or where you're coming from or your village or any. No. Don't even hate them for it anymore. Like, I like to think that if they knew better, they would maybe do different. So it was just like, when I came to peace and to terms with that through so many stages of learning, so it was really practical. It was a really practical journey.
Right. There's a lot to unpack from what you've just said. And I like the way the place you're carrying the conversation, because I can relate to a lot of it. One of the things you said is the nobility in the calling, which I relate to a lot. And for me, for example, I'll give you an example. I run a marketing agency. We're helping entrepreneurs, business owners to get clients on social media. So one time I sit down with my team and I'm saying to them, look, the nobility in what we're doing, first is a superpower that we're able to sit down on our tables, do marketing for these businesses and get them clients wherever they are. But we think about it in a different perspective, in a more deeper perspective. For example, when I say that every single time we help a business to get more clients on social media, let's say that the business sells water. If we help a company to sell 1,000 bottles of water, we have in another way helped to better the lives of 1,000 people around the world. And that is the mentality with which we carry ourselves when we work as part of the team. Which leads me to the reason I share that is because I wanted to ask you, as you mentioned about nobility.
I need everyone to understand that freedom is not just a concept, or it's not just a state of peace or a state of chill or all of that. It's a place where you can mentally allow yourself, you can be free, be bold to think for yourself and to make decisions. Because if there's one thing, people ask that if there's God, why is there evil? No, you're dumb, be quiet, don't question God. There's evil because God gave free will and he respects it. Everyone could have been a robot that he possessed, like the devil likes to possess and control people. And he has everyone doing exactly what he wants them doing. But he created you as a human being and gave you a free will, a right to choose what you want to do for yourself, how you want to do it. You know what I'm saying? And people like to take away the right, like people's rights to think, and people's just they just for the minimum sense of self-enjoyment. And people do it a lot in so many mediums, and most of them is indirect and all types of methods to brainwash and control people's minds, and you know, place it wherever they want it to be at whatever time for whatever they're trying to achieve at that point in time, and all of that. And you see, even our small societal setups here contributing to that. Life is about succeeding. We are born on earth, and the first thing our parents start thinking about, the first thing we start thinking about, even before we get conscious, is how to walk. I want to successfully walk. When you say 1 year old, when they walk, they are so happy. They are so, so happy. You see the joy in their souls. That little human is happy to have learned, to have grown, to have done something productive, to have done. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody wants to succeed, wants to walk towards success. Now, how do you want to get it? That's the biggest mode of control that the mind controllers all over the world use. To capture pure souls, to capture people and thwart the the purpose of people from something that would change the world to something that would maybe just serve them, a few people around them, and damage so many people, because that's the only way things happen when you are being 100% selfish, or even just 75% selfish, as a matter of fact. So I'd like for people to know that you can succeed with God. It's very important for me. And for me, it's like a reality TV of my own life that I'm watching too. Because sometimes I'm like, God, I know the standard of things I want to achieve. Look at what reality is projecting on me. Can I really do this?
Why is that important for you?
Because it's important for kids to know the right way to succeed. That determines their thought process. That determines the future. That determines everything about tomorrow. Our generation has seriously regressed. Very few of us think like this. Very few of us. So the majority, they take pride in spouting stupidity and pushing it. Most people, they are promoting it since, I would say 15 years ago, that Kim K and the Botox industry and all those industries and all those things started popping, and they started really encouraging more debasing morality, humanity, and all those things, and really glossing over crazy things, and people just getting used to things they shouldn't get used to. You know what I'm saying? And you look at kids, look at what's going on with the Pogba situation, look at everybody. If you come to this dweller here, we're complaining, but if you go to the streets, for instance, even sometimes among classy kids are the most langa. It's crazy how they are so rich, but they always want more. It's crazy how less privileged children, they have those values of, let me try and work hard more than people who have been privileged. I have seen it. I'm not going to argue. You understand? But if you line up those girls and you ask them that, and you tell them that, okay, right now you're standing here, you have no place to go, you have no house to stay, you have no food to eat, your mother is sick, you tell them all those excuses, and like, what will you do? She'll tell you that with a straight face that she'll go and sell her body. Somebody taught her that. Some people grow up funny, but somebody taught her that. So it's important for people to choose the right means to success. For people who are getting involved in things that they don't even understand, spiritual setups that they don't even know what's going on with spirituality. First of all, you just run and go in there. I want people to look at my life. I want the youth, the people coming up now, my younger brothers and sisters, even 40-year-olds, 70-year-olds, because there are people who are 70 now, they're still trying to ask God, that God, really, is he really over for me? Really? I know that I'm 70, but I was once 10 and I once had dreams. Is it going to really still happen for me? That people all over, I want to inspire people that God is the shortest cut. There's no two ways about it. There is no two ways. People try to disassociate it, but you cannot disassociate it. And when you die, the harder you try to disassociate it, the more you find yourself in the woods, in the bush, because you're just trying to fight energies that you clearly don't comprehend. You know what I'm saying? So it's very important for us, even if you are not, I don't worship in a temple and it's just all those things. Even if you are not weird, you don't have to be religious. I'm not for religion. I'm for faith. I'm for believing. I'm not religious. I don't respect religious people. Like all these pastors that cause people to fall and be trembling on the floor, all those things, I'm not for those things. I'm for a mind that is for God and that wants to understand him without the dilution of people, the Roman Catholic Church, this other perspective, that other perspective.
What's up, guys? Very quick one before you keep watching the rest of the video. So we have just announced the launch of the Smart Club, which is my private mentorship club for anyone who wants to learn a high income digital marketing skill. So I just wanted to have a quick break to tell you about it. 12 plus digital marketing skills that you can learn from, whether you're building your personal brand, whether you want to become a freelancer, a service provider, or your goal is to learn that digital marketing skill and land a digital marketing job. 12 plus digital marketing skills, and I'm personally going to mentor you for the next couple of months every week through my live masterclasses and everything like that. And so I just wanted to break here and ask you to go check it out. Down in the description, there's going to be a link. Go check it out and make sure that you enroll in the club before you continue watching the rest of the video. I look forward to seeing you on your very first club session.
So I think that kids, people should really get those core values and just putting them. It's not hard. It's not boring. My life is not boring. I have a really fun life. Trust me, I have way more fun than so much more people. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not. I have principles. You know, you understand what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Some people think it takes time. It's slow. No, you just have to. No. It's the fastest means. And when you see people who try to go fast that way, you realize that somewhere in the future, they start to wish they never so many have posted on social media. I wish you, some people take it for jokes, some people think they're joking, some people think it's, but they're speaking their minds, they're tormented, they're going through hell, you understand? So I think that, like, what's the essence of your life? You come and then you just make whatever choices on every single domain and of your existence and your purpose, and then you really leave no footprint, you really leave no real impact. And yeah, so I'm here for people who are about that, you know. Yeah,
a lot of people will watch this and would not believe that this is Gasha speaking.
Really?
Because I don't think that this is the side of you that a lot of people have had or have experienced. But let me dig a bit more into your catalog. There's something which I find very special and unique with your music, and I said this to you before. The zone and the way you tread is different from others in the sense of how you are able to play along and to try and to test different genres of music without being afraid that you're going to lose the fan base, right? If you listen to Fake Love, that's a slow. If I listen to Romeo and Juliet, that's a reggae. If I listen to Spirit, those are all three different genres of music. And the thing I find from you is that boldness and that ability to try these different genres of music, which, by the way, you succeed in them. Where does this boldness come from, and how are you able to just successfully execute, not being afraid to lose the fans, but putting out this body of work that makes a lot more sense, by the way?
Thank you so very much. I appreciate your review. That is a really good question, and especially that specific part where you speak about the boldness, because I would not even ask myself that question on a regular, because God inspires me with those songs. And if I tell you the stories of how each and every one of those pieces come to me, you will be completely blown away. So it's like when the spirit gives me the music, because sometimes I get the purpose, I feel an energy before it comes. I start to feel like, okay, there's some sad energy around the world, and that's what people know about me. I'm capable of picking emotions. It works against me sometimes, but that's me. I can pick emotions from Russia, literally, and I'll be so accurate about them, literally. Yeah. So I would just feel it, like there's so many people hurting right now. There's so many people suffering from the fact that this thing is being ignored right now. There's so many people thinking and feeling about this. There's people trying to talk about this. I wish to talk about this. I know that's God making it available in my heart, you know. He's just guiding me that you need to talk about that. And sometimes I talk about this, and it's even 3-4 years that you see that thing happening like a movie, and I flashback and I remember even how the visions of the song came to me, and I was like, if you say this, people will say I am not, they'll just take you and just start operating your head. In fact,
tell me a funny story about one of the times when you had a crazy song.
Let me say the story of Murder. It's like a sequel to so many feelings that have been coming to me, you know, and warnings that have been coming to me about my society, about where I was, you know what I'm saying, and about some serious impending danger that was coming because of so many little things that have been completely ignored, and people being so distracted by what they thought is the problem, by what they have concluded is the problem. Meanwhile, you don't need to think too much to realize that they're not only knocking on the wrong doors, that is not the problem, and just so much. And I just knew that it was, that the adversary was about to work, and it was about to be crazy. And if you listen to Murder, this is our Africa, it's our president's floor. It's like, you already know what's going to happen. You've seen the blood, you've seen the corpses, you've seen even sometimes faces that sometimes you see later, and you're like, oh my, you know what I'm saying? And you are just like crying along, and then like kind of making a prayer for, So there were like moments like that, sorry. So there were like moments like that, even in several other domains of like life, in like women suffering, you know, wives suffering. If you listen to Ashawu Games, I'm talking about the fact that men so easily throw away the value of what it is to keep a home and to keep the keeper of the home and to even just respect themselves. And I realized that people were not even realizing how far that can go to start a war before any political arguments. You know what I'm saying? And people were never realizing certain things that, because the devil tries to disassociate things and act like they're not related, but they are more than related. You know what I'm saying? So there were several times that, yeah, most of the time, even the theme song for the tour, if it came to me in a way that, like, it's a whole movie on its own. And that is not released yet. Each and every piece that came to me was like that. Like, it was mostly people need this, people need to hear this, people need to, you know, and all that. And that was always my, you know, the best way I could really, you know, that's the best way I could actually communicate.
And I know you talked about, you made mention of if you were... said one of the things, one of the reasons why you keep trying different genres, you talked about not going with the trend because there's a lot of trend, and then you related
that to... That's what I was talking about, you asking that question, because now that, last time you made me think about it, you know, like, right. I noticed someone who's not doing it or who's doing it, but I never thought about it, because it was never part of me, first of all, to think about, I'm very stubborn, to think about adapting certain very powerful principles, which I know I've tried and proven that this is the better way, you know, you understand? Until we find a better way, this is the better way. You understand what I'm saying, right? And and then it's, you know, all of that. There's no, so I just make my music. When it comes to me, God can blow me up. It's God. It's beautiful. It's, like you said, it's always perfect. It's not because it's me. It's Him. I just know how to really, like, hear it. I've trained myself to be able to hear. So when you're trying to look for hit, when you're trying to look for the next big song, you cannot hear that part. You have to be yourself. You get tired of being that person. That's not you. You're singing for the wrong crowd. You have the wrong crowd applauding you. And then after some time, you cannot keep up with that crowd anymore. And if that crowd sees anything that seems a little bit more authentic than you, they leave you. And you realize it was not really your crowd. You understand? And they were not really with you. And
they're cheering for the next person.
Yeah, they're cheering for the next person that seems to be trying to pretend to do that thing that you're trying to do for their sake, or to appeal to them, or to be liked by them, or all of that, you know. So what is the point? Humans are so bipolar. You just need to keep it real to yourself the best way you can. I used to tell my friends that are starting businesses that don't build it on the trend. Right. Don't. Yes, if you think the trend is fun, have a good time, tap in, dance, whatever, do whatever, but don't make it your base. Don't make it the basis on which you're projecting your future, your outcome, where you'll be standing in the next 3 years. That is so, it's like a sandcastle. It's like the water must come at some point. The water must come, the tide must increase at some point. You know, yeah, so it's not profitable for me. So it's not even an energy that I admire or that I could be like, you know what I'm saying? If like there's some songs that really came up and they were so powerful, they got trendy. That's different. You know what I'm saying? And that's something else. There were some moments in music, in art, in movie that came up and they were so powerful. They got trendy because they were inspiring, because they were revolutionary. That is something else, you know. But building your whole entire thing on a really flimsy trend is not really forward thinking.
The thing that I hear you say is that you're anytime, any day in your career, in your music and your body of work, you are going to choose authenticity over a trending sound, over the trending thing. I think that if we go online and say, what do you think about Gasha, would have a varied thoughts. There are people who look up to you who will be like, musically, we haven't seen your kind of, we are yet to experience your kind of talent in Cameroon, or someone who comes close, because you occupy like a unique space in your genre, not just in your genre, but like just your space, the body of work that you bring out. But also there are people who just have different ideas of who Gasha is,
that the
because of what the media has portrayed.
And so, don't like me.
I want to hear from the horse's mouth. That's why I'm asking this. So if I were to ask you, Gasha, what is your biggest misconception about you, and what are you going to do about it? So.
They don't know what they're missing out on. I'm the sweetest person alive. And I'm not saying this to just thought people don't, most people don't like me, and it's okay, you know. I
Why do you
cannot
think they
blame
don't
them
like you?
because they don't know me, you know what I'm saying? Because like all through my career, like I've not really been in people's faces like that, you know what I'm saying? I've just like been mostly releasing music underground. I've not really granted many interviews. I've selected my collabos where I've been very picky about almost everything. You don't really see me in the normal gatherings and all the hype spots and everything. So most people like don't really get the chance to interact with me personally and you know, like that, like on a really high level. And what they know is, oh, she smokes weed. What they know is, oh, she crazy, she's rude, she's impulsive. All those, I don't know what people say. The few that have come to my face and all of that have seen some really crazy shit. She's too snobby, she's condescending. I've heard that. Exactly. And it's crazy, right? Because are you kidding me? And I've had all types of things, and I don't really mind, because I know that. And there was a time when I kept more to myself, and it's hard for people to know who you are. It's easy for someone to just maybe see you sitting somewhere having a coffee, smoking a cigarette, right, trying to write up a project, just thinking about your life. And it's in Africa, it's here. They'll go away and they'll just think whatever it is they want to think. And some people, a lot of people make up stories. So many people made up some really crazy stories to corroborate and back up their reasons. There are reasons for being really mean to me in on platforms and everywhere else, where they thought I could, that's the only place where I can thrive and all of that. But I don't mind at the same time. I don't mind, because most people didn't get the chance to know me. We did Kakimbe, we did Up to Chill, and then I was really just really to myself. I cannot count the interviews that I've granted. It's like maybe 5. In how many years, you know what I'm saying? Yes, in so long. Blogs, you cannot stand me. I don't talk to... And I'm always commenting and showing them love, but I don't know how else they want me to love them, because you know, maybe they want you to, I don't know, I don't suck up to people. I like people who think I can be cool with you today and we'll be friends. If tomorrow you break a strong principle, I'll tell you straight up. And most people just expect you to, you know, just suck up to them or just be on their side because you're friends. No, there are limits. We can do crazy shit because we're friends. We can go and do anything we want to do, go to the wildest clubs, whatever we want to do because we're friends, but there's things that we're not going to do just because we're friends. You know what I'm saying? So most of the time, like, people, it's hard to be around me. You have to be a real one. And that's one that my fans are real people. Anybody that follows me, that this person follows me, I know that I just feel a little bit more comfortable around them, because I feel like I know them a little bit better than I know everyone else, because they be like me, you know, you understand. And even the way we talk, even the way we interact, when I just recognize my people, it's clear. And that's another importance of keeping it real and candid, because at the end of the day, you can actually pick out your audience. If you cannot pick out your audience, you're not a business person. Even you're selling soap, even you're selling curry, if you cannot pick out your audience for real, you're not a business person. If you pretend that soap, that people who want, if you pretend that white curry is superior to yellow curry because it's cheaper to make and all of that and all of that and all of that, all those funny reasons, you might catch up for, like I said, for small, but at the end of the day, well, yellow curry will be yellow curry.
I heard someone say one time that Gasha was supposed to be the Daphne of the industry, and I was like, what comparison to me? I don't know. Has anyone said that to you?
Are you kidding? Ain't nobody ever said that to me before.
Okay.
I promise you, like...
So they say most of the things behind your back.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that person, when someone speak like that, right, you realize that the person is really trying to mean well, but they are caught up in what has been projected to them as what is popping, what is success, what is the topest echelon of everything, or what is not. You understand? So you can tell that for her at that point in time was the biggest example of what it means for someone to be succeeding. You understand? Right. And for her, on her level, is the only way that she can use to compare.
But the metrics of success.
nobody ever walked up to me, and that's my girl right now, was super cool, even though people tried to like pitch us against each other, but everyone who walked up to me said the opposite. When she walked up to me, she knows what she told me. She gave him my flowers, she gave him my props, and that's what's up. You understand? Like,
what's your relationship with Daphne like?
Right now, we are like, I would say sister-in-laws. You know that relationship? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's the thing. Actually, that was going to be, that's something that I fought personally, because I saw that people wanted to use it to mislead the entire industry. They came and I don't know what the backstory is. People really know what really went down. Why? But I know that in the face of the public successfully pitched Stanley Eno and Jovit against each other and caused them to feel like they were in a competition. Yeah, they did. And deep and all the way, because when if I say something and I can get up and feel like I hate someone, it happened to me.
Which sometimes I think is good for business. Or I would presume, or looking at it from an outside perspective.
It's not.
Don't you think that, for example, whenever something happens, whenever Jovi wants to make a release, he would come and put up something that triggers the fight and it brings some buzz around whatever he's releasing?
As an entertainer, it's normal. Like I always say, that's the advice I always give, even label owners, like when you're dealing with artists, understand that you're dealing with a rock star. That's something that should be at the back of your mind. You must learn how to like help them consolidate their humility and their mental balance. But you have to know that this creator is a rock star.
What do you mean by that?
The things that what is attributed to a rock star: breaking guitars, being impulsive, extra emotions, unexplained mood swings, and some extra things that normal people that don't tap into this extra creative energies have. Like you see a kid with some spectrum, but they tell that they're an amazing painter, but they don't talk. There's one thing, there's always something. You understand what I'm saying? They are rock stars. Like, rock stars always have one quirk or two or three. That always, you understand, that goes a long way. And that's what makes them interesting. As an artist, you should have that as a person. You don't need to conjure it. You understand what I'm saying, first of all? And I was talking about the fact that, like, we're speaking about myself and that man. I was talking about how I need people to learn from this. How, I quit. I split with my partners. I moved away from the label. She's the next artist. They invest their best on her, give her their best, like, let's say financially and infrastructure, like infrastructure, all of that. You know what I'm saying? And all of that. And then you have the media constantly taunting me and trying to break at this whatever pinch, especially since I was obviously going through really hard times. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. And they did it over and over. Daphne is replacing Gasha. They will write it on social media. Daphne it was insulting. It was not that they were trying to say facts or anything. I can be criticized by a 2-year only. If I do something and a 2-year-old comes and it makes sense, they have made sense, period. If it makes sense, it just makes sense. And I just back off. You understand what I'm saying? And that's how it is. Like, if you see me talking, then it still doesn't make sense to me. So, they came.
Whereas you and Daphne have a good relationship backstage.
No, before we were not friends. We were not meeting each other and all of that. And on those grounds, it was very easy for two people who don't know each other, rumors reaching this camp, rumors reaching that camp, saying that this person has done this, that person has done this. It would have been very easy for me to justifiably, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just decide that, okay, I don't fuck with you, like... You understand what I'm saying? And it was easy for her to also gloat and
build that image, off
those things and rub bait in them and feel like she's the queen because of all of that, because somebody else was getting put down. You know what I'm saying? But that's an energy that I respect both of us for not really tapping into. You understand? Because you are just human. Someone can come and give you a projection and you take it and make it yours, more, and it was not even yours. Like, rumors are very poisonous, very, very, and there's some kind of things that look very much like proof. You understand? They can just come and tell me that, oh, this girl has said that, 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 that. We're sitting in this gathering, in this industry night, and she said that, 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 that. This person was there. This person, ask this person now, ask this person now. And then you go to tomorrow online, you see four different blogs posting those things with similar words. Oh, you think that you can, you know, go vex. You understand what I mean? Yeah. You have to be like really objective to be like, you know what? Let's, this is irritating. This is annoying.
That's the media. There is life, and there's another relationship apart from that.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying, right? And it made nice for when we met in person, and we literally giggled over those things. You know what I'm saying? And it was really cool. And it's better for business. That is better for business. You will say that we don't have any collabo, we have not worked on anything together, but we don't know how we support each other behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? You don't know how I'm there for her, or she's there for me behind the scenes. You don't know the prayers she's saying for me. You don't know the prayers I'm saying for her. And you don't know what those prayers can do for her, me, and so many billions of people. And in those circumstances, to those people do something, it's always extraordinary. It's always super. It always has the impact it's supposed to have. There's so many people who have done collabos, but today when you think of them, you cannot think of those collabos. But the collabos are massive. I don't know if you get me. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not about the collaboration, running, trying to build everybody. No, it's about what's their heart, what's the motivation, what's the. Even though I always say, don't blow by mistake. If you ask questions, you understand some story, Daddy. You understand me? Yes.
I would assume that from what you're saying, you're probably not going to pick sides on the Stanley and Noah and Jovi thing that is happening online. Because first, from your explanation between what what's happening on the media between you and Jovi.
Those are not headlines. Those are not even topics. Like the captions blog used to even describe those things. It's like, why does this caption exist? People are making something that's not supposed to be a thing into a thing. People don't even realize how much it's ruining the people involved's lives and directing their everything on levels that you can think that is good for some temporary moments, but it causes people to judge their character and so much based on it.
Yeah.
Are we here to impress people for a night? You think that there are people who make $100,000 for a show? There are people who make $100,000 performing for 30 minutes. Ooh. You know it. Yes, Marshmello. There are people out there, co-play them. All those people, how much do they take per show? When they're going on tour, how much do they take? When they're inviting them somewhere, how much does Bruno Mars take for a show? There are people, so what are those headlines about? Well, what are fighting over what? What business? Where is it? What are the results of this order? Where did we really see a certain level of intentional disorder taking us? Where did we see it? Like, beyond what limit has it ever taken us? So people think that they need to, like, and most artists, young artists, they pick up that energy too. I will say among so many young rappers, they're going out talking on each other's personal lives, you know, trying to bring down the mental state of, because this thing is a game of destroying the next person's mental spirit. That's what even rap battles are about. And that's why for rappers, it's a spiritual thing. You have to be very serious. You have to know the difference between wordplay, smart wordplay, and everything. Because if it's a wordplay, words are powerful. They get you. They have an impact, whether you like it or not. It's only if you know how to control that impact and how you do with you. But even God created the world with words. They are too powerful. So it's a thing of trying to bring down what words can I use to make the next person feel smallest? Then the other person is like, okay, what? How can I feel the next makes me feel absolutely small? You understand? And it even curbs your creativity because you start going to low levels to find punchlines. You start going to some kind of funny places to find things here and there because you want to reason the way normal, intelligent person is actually trying to make wordplay. That's the energy. So I'm not really into beefs. I don't like beefs. If somebody annoys you for real and you feel like it's your free will, feel free, but I would not encourage the beef culture because it supposedly brings a certain kind of attention or because it supposedly brings some temporary business, feedback or whatever. Like, if you want to beef, like, fight, like, organize a boxing match and make money, like, wrestle. Let people see that you're mad. Let people say you're big mad, like you're not mad. And make some money off it, like, you know, it's productive. You drag people in need, and there are people, like, even when people get over that beef, there's some fans that don't let go. So many times it happens,
yeah,
like that. And
yeah,
you see their fans, some fans, they look up to their idol like it's the Bible. You even hear pop for generation saying that, I grew up, Tupac changed my life, this person changed my life, that people, music for them is like the Bible. And it's not, it's bigger than so many things, you know what I'm saying? And so when those people that look at that culture like it's their Bible for them, they take it to heart. You can evolve as a person, and you are not that person anymore, you know what I'm saying? But there's some people there that there that now, everything in this life now is beef. You kill me, I kill you. You understand? That kind of thing. I'll expose you, you expose me, and let everybody die. They watch what happen, you know? And that energy, you know what I'm saying? Like, even look at Hollywood Buzz. Hollywood Buzz, the biggest buzz will come out in Hollywood. It's at most 3 days now. It's at most 3 days. Yes. The craziest story is at most 3 days. The 3 days after the next story is following up. So if you don't have the sense to maximize billions of dollars in those 3 days, what is the point?
Right.
If you have not actually made billions of dollars in those 3 days, where you understand what I'm saying, like for real, like what is the actual point? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Gasha, 10 years ago, you released Kakimbere. And I remember I heard you talking about one of the stories, a really funny story, by the way, about you going to shoot the video and in a construction site, and they wouldn't let you shoot the video until I think you had to play the song for the owner of the construction site. Mm-hmm. What was the story about?
The story was about the shoot of the video shoot of Kakimbere, my first experience on the field as an artist.
Was that your first experience?
Yes, when I say on the field, mm-hmm, I mean, that was my first official music video that I made. We had done some tries, mm-hmm, of course, because we edited those videos ourselves. Everything, all that time, we did everything 100% ourselves, yeah. So, after we have learned some one or two things on YouTube, attempted some things here and there, that was the first time we were actually going on field to carry out those details, location scouting, talking to people, making them actually understand that, what is this crazy little girl in this era wanting to shoot a video? Not many people were going around trying to shoot videos back in the day. You know, mm-hmm, it was not all the time that things like that happened. And, you know, so it was a whole different energy. And we went to that spot at Uja, where it was a chantier,
right?
Very big chantier, like a whole neighborhood that they were constructing, and it was a French/Chinese collaboration, if I'm not mistaken. And we had gone and scouted the location, because we drove all over Yaoundé looking for beautiful places that looked like what we were visualizing. So we just went there, and then we tried to speak to some guys that were there like 3 days before, and we're like, please, we want to come and shoot all those things. First was like, yeah, what's going on? And they were like, yeah, true, cool, no, but everybody come and shoot, no problem, you understand? And they've been getting a small thing to 2,000. That time 2,000 we did like 400,000, you understand? Because go, we first send our fan, they go shoot or some kind of thing, we go all out, like, you understand? So one five will be that time, been are you kidding me? It was not small money. It was not small money. Who said you take them? Who said you say I manage entire? Let me say it was not small. So we don't go get a put small, prepare small thing for that man that answer. Okay, we can't in 3 days, we can't shoot, you know. So now we don't go now in 3 days, we don't go struggle, we get some moto, get that Wrangler, or that also maybe in a challenge, or I left drive like 2-3 days. I said, okay, we'll go reach for the mm-hmm. Because the guy will give me the Wrangler, even in Mando for drive, and it makes sense because Wrangler.
And you learn to drive in 3 days.
Not like drive, but I could move the car around the field so we could shoot.
Ooh,
you understand?
Okay.
Yes. So we don't come back. We're ready. Spirit is up. We the common house. I don't call one or two family members and tell them, guys, pray for me. It's finally happening. I'm going to take some of the first scenes for Kakimbere, blah, 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 blah. And then we go get there. And then everybody's there, everything is there, the whole team is there, everybody was successfully brought to be to even stand there, they're there. And then they're like, we cannot shoot. And we're like, sorry, people said in 3 days, they said, no, today's a very active day on the chantier, we cannot shoot. I said, but they told us that 3 days, like, like this thing, everything here is rented. You sleep one day, you have to add 25,000 again. Like, there's no way. Please, we are begging. See, I begged that day, I almost said cry. Then we begged for like 1 hour, 30 minutes. They refused. They were so rude. And then Pastor, everyone was like, you know what? It's cool. Let's go home. I went and sat on top of that wrangler, that top. I was like, me, I'm not leaving this place. God knows that man. It's a caterpillar that removed from here. I'm not leaving here. Let the night come. Let the sun go. Let me know that now. Okay. We're not going to shoot today.
What's up, guys? Very quick one before you keep watching the rest of the video. So we have just announced the launch of the Smart Club, which is my private mentorship club for anyone who wants to learn a high income digital marketing skill. So I just wanted to have a quick break to tell you about it. 12 plus digital marketing skills that you can learn from, whether you're building your personal brand, whether you want to become a freelancer, a service provider, or your goal is to learn that digital marketing skill and land a digital marketing job. 12 plus digital marketing skills, and I'm personally going to mentor you for the next couple of months every week through my live masterclasses and everything like that. And so I just wanted to break here and ask you to go check it out. Down in the description, there's going to be a link. Go check it out and make sure that you enroll in the club before you continue watching the rest of the video. I look forward to seeing you on your very first club session.
So pitiful. And then everybody in the team, they came and were like, you know what, anyways, move to wait against tomorrow. Because everybody was like, they're packing up to leave. So they're like, okay, move wait against tomorrow. As they were like, let's wait again. The director had come up, because when I sat on top of the car, they had built a plank fence around the chantier. So as I sat on top of the car, I could see over the plank fence, you understand? Mm-hmm. So I kept seeing that fence guy coming and going in, coming out and going in. And I was like, I'm not living here. I'm not living here. Whoever is responsible for this place is waiting to find me. I'm not leaving. I just said, I want to see. He did his hand like, you know, like, what's going on? Like, what's going on there? Like, more like, what's going on? So nobody was giving him feedback. So he sent some people to go over and ask us what we wanted. So they came, but they just came. They didn't even say, Lobosa di vous voulez quoi? They just came. Lobosa di que vous quittez là-bas? Quittez! C'est la musique de quoi? Quittez maintenant! I just said, my dad. I don't say that man's body language was not like that. I don't think that's what that man said. I don't think so. Like, I just as I was thinking that the guy was like, he still that's what he did now. He said, like, come approach. And then the guys, they brought us in. He was like, let everybody enter his office. That's how my friends were shaking. They were like, boo, 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 that they were shaking. And they were like, so who is responsible for these people here? They just pushed me in front. I just went in front. I was like, I'm responsible. They were like, so what is the point of all that focus, focus going on out there? So I was like, we came to shoot. These guys promised us that we could shoot. And we've come today and they're telling us that we cannot shoot. These machines were rented. They are so expensive. So, so expensive. Everyone has chipped in from a task to year, all levels for them. Even the money that we had to be standing here like that. So there's no way we cannot go home. He was like, okay. If I don't look that boy in some way, then there is no more play the song. My play the song with Awan Shuta. I played the song. I was scared because I just had my small phone that time and I was like, the bass and all the instruments are not sounding. Will he appreciate it? Will he know what he's hearing, you know? But I just played it and put it on the table. It's all we had. We did not have Bluetooth speakers. I just played it and put it on the table. And like, 10 seconds into the song playing, he turned and looked at me and was like, are you the one singing this song? I was like, yes. He said, is this the song you are trying to shoot? I said, yes, this is the song. He then asked the brother, did you guys play this song? We were driving this child. Do you know who this is? So they're insulting them. That's a Cameroon. I said, it caused them. I said, that's a Cameroon. And then they said, person, this guy, person, go can't stand for now. And I drive it. So they throw it down for his skin. We don't even hear it. We don't know what this kind of music be. He just closed Chantel. He just said, okay, the Chantel. Yes, he just closed Chantel that moment. He said, Chantel, make that Chantel close. He called that chef Chantel, make it drive. He said, me give all my heart. He said, me give all my whole team heart. Then carry for any side we want to go, any location we want to shoot, we shoot for the, any lorry, any tractor, if you say we need that, make we shoot for the. And you're like, I don't know, he closed the whole shanty, we should finish that, we'll finish. I go tell him, say thank you. He tell me, say, he wish me the very best for the, for my career. I say, that music, not just, in if you believe, say, come ring, and then, and I saw we shoot that scene. And everyone that scene was shoot, that came in, you get a similar energy. You understand what I mean? Just that scene alone for that film where we keep driving them to the cancel way, that they can't shantay, no, why they can't go for a sit down body by, yes.
just that part for Boshutam. And we get three different locations, and each and every location get a crazy story behind. You understand? So anyways, that's the story of Akinbe video shoot. It was always good.
It's interesting that you actually share some of that entire journey. And when I just think about it, I can imagine the road you've had to get right up to this place. And I wonder, which is something I want to ask you. And if someone said to you, Gasha, if you were to start all over again, let's say that you're talking to your 20-year-old self, starting out in music, if you were to start over again, what would you do differently?
There are parts of myself and my creativity and my manner of self-expressing myself that people ask me to curb. Like my music, my sound was the only thing that was unaffected. Because living among thorns, you have to adapt because they actually prick. And they prick and they hurt when they prick and you bleed and you lose blood and all of that. I was born very free-spirited. I was born so bold. I was that guy. It was not about culture. It was not about anything. I used to talk about things that did not exist from when I was three. I used to talk about things that I later on heard great people speaking about later on in my life when I was already 10. I had ideas. I was mentally emancipated. I grew up with powerful grandmothers who smoked the pipe. Powerful women who were in the village, they'd be fearing at them. You understand? They be known at the for Palestine. Now only the way that man they talk, they talk. Now the woman that way they raise me. Now the woman that way they raise my big mommy, them and my mommy them. You understand? So I was always that kid. But later on, it was like everything about me was you're too everything, you're too sweet, you're too this, you're too eccentric, you're too. And I started feeling the need, like, okay, let me just, you know, to tune down my that sweetness, that eccentricness. You know what? Let me just stay away from people. Let me just stay away from people. Meanwhile, for real, I know, say, if I'd be doing my very music the way I do, and so you understand what I mean? And I don't allow anybody for direct how I be express my views them on so many things them, I for don't make a greater impact. You understand what I mean, right? Because people even made me to believe that there's a time to advise people. You understand? There's a time to have fun. There's a time to this. There's a time to that. You advise me, you be who? I drive motor, you need to drive motor, you want to advise me how? Things like that get to you. And they're like, okay, you can start telling yourself, okay, maybe I should actually finish doing what I'm doing before I feel the need to reach out to one or two people to help them out, because I already accept that they will not listen. You understand what I'm saying? And I see you see society catching up to people with my personality, to be part of my personality, that they're catching up with it now, just now. You understand what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, I was always a fun, cool motherfucker.
This is the side of you that was not shown out.
I'm saying? Yes.
Because people will say to you, you have to repress this side.
Exactly. If I could be different from that person, I would help more people, I'll reach out to more people, and what like blessings are what happens when you help people, like, you know, when you're yourself, when you forget yourself and do things for other people, even if it's going to make you look stupid. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a question and you can choose to answer or not, but I know that a lot of people would also be very curious as to how you go through September 2023. You posted a very sad note about your miscarriage, which, by the way, was very brave for you to even come out and talk about it and even acknowledge that you were going through such a difficult time. What was that moment like for you? And, how did you just pull through it?
You know, the worst part about that whole moment was, it's like when you learn about Christ and his sufferings, they tell you that there was a physical cross and then there was a spiritual cross. And they would tell you that the spiritual cross was heavier than the spiritual cross. That's what the word says. Because he was carrying people's guilt. He was carrying people's karma. All the evil things that should happen to you. Should you not accept that he took it away from you? That's what he was really carrying. Those is that worse than those whips and those lashes. You know what I'm saying? And at that moment in my life, I was experiencing a double miscarriage, a triple, quadruple miscarriage. Everything, almost everything that I was working on, that I was pursuing, that I was holding on to, from spiritually to physically, I lost them. I lost them. And I thought that I would die. And I thought that I didn't want to see the light. Like, I didn't want to see the sun. It was just like, how is this fair? How is any of this fair? Like, what's the point? Like, how is this, is why people go around saying it's okay to be evil. But why is any of this fair? Why? When it always seems like the evilest people get away with the craziest shit, and the people who are trying their best to just breathe, they just keep losing it and losing it and losing it. What am I doing wrong? What is going on? You know what I'm saying? And at that moment, I felt the presence of my God in a way that, like, I don't know how to explain it, but He was there. I don't know if you can, I don't know if anyone can relate to that, but you understand that this, when He says He can take away anything, He literally means it. And you would think that there are levels to pain, and there are levels to losses, and you just realize that he means what He says. And I learned, I took a 360 turnabout. It was beautiful. I saw my God. I prayed to Him. I prayed from a place that I'd never prayed from before. And I experienced praying from that place, and the kind of things that happen to your soul and to your heart when you pray from that place, from the healing of things that we don't even know you are suffering from, and the direction and the guidance and the clarity and just everything that you need actually to execute your purpose for real and not just be an existential creature.
About 4 years ago, I started an email list. We have about 21,000 people on the email list now. And I realized that when I started initially, I would share the big wins. Hey, I just had this big win. I just did this. Sounded cool, sounded nice. But gradually, I would get hate emails. People would write me back. Oh, you're so full of yourself. You're just telling me everyone. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm just sharing good wins. Like, can't you just see? But here's where the twist happened. And then somewhere in between, I decided, okay, I will both share the failures and the wins.
Right.
So, for example, there's a time I missed a flight in Turkey, and I'm stranded. I had to sleep at the airport because I don't want to pay another flight. I don't want to go out and pay another hotel room. I know they bought no money over there. I missed flight. Okay. I wrote that down in the email list. Another time, I had a stab. My eye was so swollen. I wrote that down in an email list. And then I get people writing back, oh, Ari, I relate to you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
So these are the things that you also relate to. So when I saw you share that, I was just like, now this is also the human side, because the tendency for us, especially in the digital age, is to say, oh, I'm just this person who is just emotionally strong, and I'm just tough, and I'm just, even from an artist perspective, for you yourself as well. But you knew putting that out there, I thought it was very, very vulnerable, and I think also very tough, because it takes a level of courage to say you're putting this out there, meaning that you're ready and you know what the people will say. I'm sure you expected it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it was brave of you to put that out there.
Thank you. I'm glad you get it.
I wanted to ask you, I have a few more questions for you, but I wanted to ask you from an artist's perspective.
Yeah.
What could be the biggest breakthrough for our entertainment industry? What do you think our industry needs right now?
Oh, our industry needs therapy. Oh my God.
Our Say that again.
Lots and lots of therapy. Like.
Therapy.
Exactly. Everything starts from healing, you know. Everything starts from a place of healing, and everything that needs to have a permanent impact. And so many things need to be untaught, so many neural
pathways rearranged, so many thought patterns, so many, just everything rearranged, because like I said, it's a
give me an example, please.
For instance, if you look at Cameroon, in the industry here, there was our fathers, Koto Bars, and you know, all the rock stars that were big before a generation came in and then started urban music and started urban contemporary music and all of that. You know what I'm saying, right? And when that this new era started, you understand, with a few of us, I'm privileged, one of the pioneers, as a matter of fact. They were really so silly. there was a genuine hunger. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of free will in play. Because it's not about trying to control people, or I don't want to impose my idea on anybody. Like I said, I want to start from people actually choosing. Like, don't tell someone that you must do this or you must do this. This is the only thing that works. Tell them that these are the options. With love, even if it's going to work against you. Right. You understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And we don't have that set up here. And when we try to compare ourselves to other countries, which is different mentalities and different cultural backgrounds and different, you know, manners of thinking, we talk about all the wrong things but that thing. If you stand by the road in the UK or in the US maybe, and you're playing a guitar and you're dancing, or even maybe in Ghana, in some places that are really cool, people will come and throw you some coins and they'll dance with you. But if you stand at a source, don't say you have lost it. Don't say you have lost it. You said that when the career don't finally finish. You don't be single on the corner road. We have a crazy, regressive way of perceiving everything artistic. We have to understand that art is a business of spirituality, it's a business of humanity, it's art. It's something that is not tangible. It's something that is created from either something that inspired or someplace that did not exist before per se, you know. So we don't have the right approach towards this thing called art market. We don't have an art market. We don't have so many things. The grand friends and the grandsons on top in quotes, they are telling people all the wrong ways to succeed. You just see everybody's mental capacity is dwarfed. Their creative capacity is dwarfed. If you even speak to the artists that seemed like they were succeeding, they will tell you that they are not that satisfied with that level of success that is overhyped by everybody. And then they thought they wish they did different. Most will tell you that this, I have a hard time following up from practicing this genre of birds for so long. I thought that I could catch up later on, but like I said, what you practice is what gets perfect about you. You think that you leave this one and practice one and then catch up later, but no, what you have practiced, what will stay in your subconscious, and then you realize only later that you have actually forgotten how to do that thing you were so awesome at. You understand what I'm saying? So we also have to give the room for all genres of music. We over prioritize trends and mainstream over other genres of expression and, you know, and art and music and culture and all of that. There are no platforms for contemporary music in Cameroon. Absolutely none. So let's say that if an artist wants to do maybe acoustic music, some kind of genres and some kind of vibes here, they have to know already before time that they have no place to perform, because even the business setups and the companies they will take what is trending. It works for them, never for the artist. You get it works for the business setups. They don't care about values. Is this whore trending right now? Okay, this whore is going to endorse this thing right now. We don't care if she's a whore or not. If people know she's a whore or not, she'll endorse it. We know, already calculated how much we'll make. They'll make it. You understand? For that moment that they want, they'll go to the next one. They think as business people, they're also part of the problem. You understand? Because the only thing, so it's a whole setup from the mamas on top or whatever to whoever under, and the people are so eager to believe that that's the only way, because they actually want an easy way out. So like I said, it will take a lot of therapy, it will take a lot of unteaching what has been taught, it will take a lot of, you know, intentional bombarding of propaganda that gives the direct opposite of those schools of thoughts and those mentalities and those things. You understand what I mean? If you ask most artists that are popping what their career is built on, you'll be shocked at the flimsy surprise answers that they'll give you. And you'll be like, wow, if this nonsense can really pop, then why is the real state of mind and mentality not popping? Why don't they know people like Mara? Why are people like Mara, like is it Mara? Mara and I die. Mara and I die. I wouldn't die with it. That beginning, Ayok, so other girl, Ayok, the very good artist. This other young lady, I just forgot her name, and she's always really supportive under my stuff, and she plays the guitar, and she's so chill. Like, those are people that, even if they're waiting, forget all to put or give them attention to. You can promote their whatever you want to promote, but don't promote it with the intention of benching or desking whatsoever that can, you think is how do I put it, is competition for you, because I got up and people are finding me as competition. I'm not your competition. I'm Coldplay's competition. I'm not your competition. All those people's competition, how they, I don't know who you try to compete with, but it's not me. Don't give me that energy. When you see me, hug me, love me, because at the back of my mind, trust me, I'm not even trying to do anything around the lane where you are. Like, the most I would do is make clap for you, encourage you. You know what I'm saying? So it's a certain mentality, and people are just confused over what was people are input like a productive competition. What is productive competition? What, you don't define it. You don't know what you're talking about. You're putting it in all the wrong context. You're encouraging bullshit in all the wrong context. You are defending nonsense in all the wrong context. And how can a business like that thrive? Even a company, a hotel, will tell you that the workers respect their places. Everybody respects that. It's like that. To an extent, it must be like that. So when we talk about a market here, like I said, I'm talking about my challenge. I'm not dissing anybody's achievements. When I will consider myself, say, gosh, you don't send me come as artist. Now, when they don't send me 20K, they may say, okay, come perform. You understand what I mean? I'll say, okay, mommy, all right. You have started making it, you're still making it. You know that the money is everything, but that's just the final result. It's like a business person that's to show their balance. Sure. You understand that, yeah. So that's it. So I think that we should aspire to more. We should be taught to, let's stop being comfortable with just nothing. Let's stop being comfortable with likes on posts that will be forgotten. If you criticize Niger man for you, he say, what do you mean? Ah, show me now, mama. That's a straight instinct. But if you talk to a Cameroonian, the energy you receive is different. Is completely different. So you see so many things coming to play with the reason why the industry is how it is. So many selfish business administrators selling whatever they dream they think they should sell in the moment to get whatever they have to make their means end, and children buying into it. They need therapy.
Oh. What is next for Gasha?
Can you imagine this person who's sitting before you now, after learning everything she's learned, after experiencing everything she's experienced, she's ready to be on top of her game without ever coming down, ever. Oh. You understand what I'm saying? Yep. Because I always knew I was going to be here. I always knew where I was going to be. After I got here, I knew that, okay, we're going to take our time, just make audios. It's expensive to do audiovisual packaging for an artist of my caliber without compromising or taking too much from the image and all of that. Or even giving the wrong information is expensive. I'll just take 3 to 4 years. I'll just do only audios, understand my thing, so that when I get out there, I can do anything I want to do, and it will not be a matter of, I can explore and explore more, have a good time, and do whatever, entertain with every single part of my personality, because I'm from, I have Beethoven down to Cardi B energy. I was literally like a monk the past years, just being in my corner and just really working on the things that were priority and the things, because, you know, and situations and everything. Okay, perfect guidance. What can we do? We get even chiller. We get even more onto the inside. We understand the sound more. We understand the music more. When we have enough in our coffers, because I have over 300 songs written and so many songs recorded that I've not listened, that I've not heard it. All of them are super timeless pieces. Like, selected. I can, I'm good for life. I and 10 other artists are good for life. I could share them contents forever right now. Change their whole lives. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in a good place. My portfolio is heavy, and My plans are more feasible, and right now I know that this phase is going to be super challenging, because even just that phase, just the studio sessions, just every single little thing, detail that comes with that phase was super challenging for me as an independent artist. And right now, this is the next phase, and this is that packaging phase, that, okay, that's, let's share you. Who are you? Let us share your personality. What do you think about this? How you feel about this? How you feeling right now? How you feeling about yesterday? All of that. Those things that the fans need to see to complete the picture they have of you and to better understand your message and all of that. Because, like I said, we've not interacted with the public, with the media, and all of this people for so long. Even when they spoke about me, I didn't say. People sometimes wrote me and say something I wouldn't. It's just this one time that somebody really fucking hurt my integrity, and I was just like, you know what? Sometimes when you keep quiet too much, people start to feel like you have a problem. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, right? So, yes, I said something like that, but at that time, but generally, I'm just like, nah. So right now, okay, you will be entertained. That's what's next. And all the goodies that come with it, because we generally have very beautiful plans as moves are concerned, from tours to albums to what's next, to charity, to how we impact this, to starting this, starting that, all of that. Very beautiful things are in view normally, but just be ready to be entertained. Just get ready to be super entertained.
When all is said and done, how do you want to be remembered as Kasha?
I want to be remembered as someone who gives joy, Sha. I want to give so much joy. Like, I want to be remembered as someone that, like, whenever I come in, people feel happy, people feel blessed, you know, people heal, people find a way out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to give joy. People who know me know I'm that guy, you know. I can be the group clown just for that case. Like, I don't want to be taken too seriously, except, you know, things that we should all take seriously. I want to have a good time. I want to show people a really good time. I want to make life easy for people, because when you've gone through life as I have, you've never had anything easily handed to you. Understand every single one franc, every single support, every single you're doing good, every single tap on the back that you get, you appreciate it differently. So I've learned how to know the essence of those feelings and the impact it has in people's lives. And I really want to be that guy who can be a bridge for people to cross, you know, to their dreams, to their, you know, everything. That's how I want to be remembered. Like, as a super dope mom, as a super dope family girl, I want to be known as that girl who reminded people of serious values, that who reminded people that you don't, all these things that I've told you that a woman is not that. You can be a real submissive, beautiful lady and still be an emancipated female and just live your life as you wish. You know, it's important for the woman to learn that, because they're getting all the concepts twisted. The concept of feminism to everything, and woman is the backbone of humanity, whether we like it or not. Yeah, so I just want to remember that somebody who made things better for humans and for the people that came in contact with me.
Right. For those who are going to be watching this, this is about 3 a.m. We're sitting here to record this because we have tried recording a bunch of time and this didn't work out. So... But yes, Kasha, I want to thank you really, really, really very much for making out time for this. The thing that I have loved most about the conversation is that I could feel that at every step of the journey, you have been, number one, you've been very conscious about your journey. Number two, you seem like a really, having this conversation with you, you seem like someone who's really reflective. You're more conscious about what you do than people would realize, like the actions, and I could tell that you're the person who would go, let me sit down and think about this. Let me know to do it, but let me think about the reason why I'm doing this. And then you start to, let me learn. What did I learn from this? What did I do this? Right. I kind of see a very big similarity with my own personality, because I know that I'm always in my head a lot when I'm trying to do things. And I appreciate that you share vulnerably, but most importantly, I could feel that you have grown with your journey. And I hope that those who watch this as well feel that energy and start to regard you in a different way. So thank you for having this conversation.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for having me.
I've really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, sometimes when you're given the chance to speak about yourself, which is something that people like me seldom do, you get to even see yourself better in the moment even, and you are reminded of your values, you are reminded of so many things, and it's very important because there's a reason why they say you should study every day and all of that, because you cannot study today for forever in your life. And you have to repeat those things to yourself, you have to see those things, you have to try so that it's in your subconscious, and that's by constant repetition. And I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy that you have triggered those parts of my brain to, you know, think about those things and to answer those questions and to consider them, because I'm definitely living here more inspired and more determined. And, you know, approval is a good thing. When you get approval for something that you're doing, it's a very good feeling, and it's an information that everyone needs. I'm very, very happy to do this.
If you just enjoyed this episode, the chances are that you're going to love other amazing episodes that we've recorded. So don't forget to check that out in the suggestion. And please hit the follow button so that you can keep in touch every time we publish an episode. Down in the description below, you'll find links to really helpful resources and also links to connect with the guest so that you can keep in touch with their amazing work. Like I always say, my friends, cheers to many more years of shamelessly living and crazily excelling in passion and purpose. And I'll speak to you in the next episode.